Welcome to the afternoon and it's evening here in Jamaica. It is now 8:02 p.m. This is Maurice L. Harrison coming to you live from Alligator Pond in the parish of Manchester. Okay. There's those that's going to say, hey, that's St. Elizabeth. Well, folks, yes, back in the late 50s, this was St. Elizabeth, but it is not anymore. We took it away from you, so it's now Manchester. So Maurice Harrison, who am I? Where am I coming from, and how did I end up on this show? Well, some of you may have remembered a few years ago, I used to do a South Coast show and a couple of other storytelling shows. And Dr. Evers convinced me to come back on the air. And so on Sunday nights, starting now, for the next few Sunday nights, we're going to be having this show at 8 p.m. Jamaica time. It's 9 p.m. daylight saving time. And well, you all know the other time zone. If you can't hear me, just drop us a note and let us know that you're not hearing me. I'm doing this thing from a cell phone. I'm doing it remote from Alligator Pond, Manchester. Where's Alligator Pond? It's down there on the south coast of Jamaica, south central in the southern Manchester constituency. Just around the Port Kaiser. Some of you out there in radio land and internet land may have heard of Little Ochi, Oswald's, Alligator Pond River, Guts River, Treasure Beach. Well, we're not that far from Treasure Beach, about 35, 40 minutes. We're about an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 40 minutes from the Norman Manley International Airport, going to the west and then to the south. And then if you are coming from Montego Bay, you would come over the hills, either through Middle Quarters or around the coast, and come on over into the Alligator Pond area. Why am I telling you all this? Because, folks, this is where I have retired to, and this is where I now live, in Jamaica. I live on the South Coast, and I live in Alligator Pond, where I grew up in this area. And now that I'm at the grand old, well, pre-retirement age of 62, I took it early and came home to live the rest of my life. So I'll be talking a lot about the South Coast and what's on the South Coast, and as the time goes on and we get through this COVID-19 corona crisis, we'll be venturing out into the type of industries that we have over here, what is on the South Coast, how great the place of South Coast is, because it's not a very well talked about place out there. So a lot of people will become familiar with over here, this hidden gem of Jamaica, and possibly may want to come visit us over here one day. Unfortunately, our show, the very first show, as a follow-up from a live show that I did earlier this week with Dr. F, we are going to be talking about something that's not much of a pleasure to talk about, but it's something that needs to be talked about, and that is the COVID-19 situation here in Jamaica. And especially how it's affecting here on the South Coast, considering that this show would be carrying a South Coast theme as we go along with different variety of spices of what we bring. We might bring South Coast dishes one week. We might bring South Coast attractions one week. We might bring South Coast old time stories another week. And if possible, and if it's necessary, we might expand the time slot to make it a longer show or break it up into, you know, one or two or three shows per week. But today we're going to be talking about Corona and COVID-19, which, as anyone in any corner of this world today understands, that we do have a pandemic in the world, and some places are handling it and some in a good way, and some places, although trying to handle it in a good way, seems to be struggling very hard with it. What I'm going to do this week and on this show, which I'll be here with you for about an hour, is talk about how it's affecting the South Coast especially, but Jamaica in general. We thought it would be a good idea, knowing that we have someone here on the ground in Jamaica that's in connection with the news, in connection with the Ministry of Health, in connection with the members of Parliament, to really and truly bring you factual statements and factual information as to what's going on with COVID-19 in Jamaica and the South Coast, and in particular, how the government and the people of Jamaica are reacting and, in a lot of cases, being proactive based on what our expectations are. So kind of that's what this show is going to be about. And I invite anyone out there in Radio Land to call in. The call-in number is, and you can write this down, 661-467-07. If you want to ask a question, or if you want to just talk to me and talk to me about some concerns you may have, I'll try to answer whatever I can, or I'll try to give an opinion. And mark you, some of what I'm going to be telling you tonight is going to be opinion, but most of it is going to be opinion based on facts and based on statements that I've heard from the horse's mouth and being around my fellow Jamaicans all this time and understanding the feeling here on the ground, not what is being posted in Facebook and in other social, media. It's not going to say that social media is fake news, but there are a lot of stories out there that it's not exactly facts, and rumors do get distorted, and facts sometimes do get distorted as well. So I'm hoping that my purpose here will be to kind of lend some clarity based on what I know and based sometimes on some strong opinions based on what I see is going on. So in saying that, let's get started. You're listening to CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show. Of course, our website on Facebook is crsradio.com. And the link is there if you want to listen to the show from the link. It's out there at crsradio.com. And it's also on my personal page. If you want to drop in some comments or questions on Facebook, I'll try to see them. There's a chat area on the show itself. You can go in there. I'll be monitoring that as well. So it's CRS Radio. It's a Caribbean radio show. It's our job to try to keep you informed about what's going on in the Caribbean. Okay, and once again, I'm Maurice Harrison. If you would like to, call in 661-467-2407. And I'll remind you of the number as we go along, how to call in and how to, to ask a question or comment or even share with me some things that you may have heard that I might not be covering, and I would see if I can lend an opinion and or a factual answer to whatever it is your concerns are. Now then, COVID-19, as you know, is a brand new strain of the coronavirus. Coronavirus has been around for quite some time, but this particular strain is a newly discovered strain, which we're having, the world is having a tough time with, as there is no known vaccine and or cure for this disease. And so basically speaking, the countries of the world have to find a way to contain it, restrict the growth of it, and try to get back to some sense of normalcy, because right now the entire world is not in a normal state. For example, here in Jamaica, we're not allowing any incoming flights into Jamaica right now with passengers. Cargo can come in and can leave, but passengers cannot. Jamaicans can come home, but if they do come home, they're going to be quarantined automatically for 14 days. And the government of Jamaica, and coming from me, folks, let me tell you something, and I'm only saying this because it just lends some clarity to the feeling here in Jamaica, because I'm actually a member of the opposition party to this current government, and I have no problem saying that. And I'm not saying that for political reasons. The reason I'm saying that is to just lend some emphasis to the very next statement that I'm going to make right now. And that statement is that I am absolutely 100% proud and happy of the way Prime Minister Andrew Holness and Minister of Health Christopher Tufton and the CMO is handling this crisis. I say kudos to them. I see a very good job being done. And I congratulate them. And I'm not the only one doing so, because as recently as 2 days ago to 3 days ago, the Miami Herald posted an article commending Jamaica as one of the best countries in handling this crisis. WHO also commended Jamaica, and many other countries are commending Jamaica. And folks, the reason for that is Jamaica was very, very proactive in a lot of cases. There are still people that will say, hey, we could have done things quicker and we could have done things better. My answer to those people is we still took those actions before other countries did. And I credit those actions for the fact that as of today, Jamaica has 32 cases. Okay, I can absolutely say 100% sure that there was 30 cases as of yesterday. This morning, I heard that there's 32 cases. So we went from 26 about a week or so ago, and now day before yesterday we were at 30, and this morning we're at 32. So within the last 2 days, we've been going two more per day of confirmed positive cases. Over 240 to 300 people, I think, have been tested, and testing is consistently going on. The original COVID-19 case that came into Jamaica came in from England, from UK, and was quickly cited as occurring to someone who went to the Bull Bay area. The Jamaican government immediately quarantined 7 miles and 8 miles upon learning that the first case that came into Jamaica was associated and was around a lot of people in that area. The subsequent cases that came out pretty much all got linked to people that were on that flight and or in contact with that person. The second biggest area that had to be quarantined was an area called Cornpiece over in Clarendon. And that area was also quarantined. So as of Friday night, we had three areas that were quarantined. That was the Bull Bay 7 mile area, 8 mile area, and Cornpiece in Clarendon. Well, the Bull Bay area, that quarantine was lifted midnight last night. So the Bull Bay 7 mile and 8 mile, they're now out of quarantine. And the reason for that is because the quick action of the government in quarantining the area, conducting the test, carrying care packages from the line because there was a line that was established. Then, of course, the military, the Jamaica Defense Force, and the authorities and the Ministry of Health set up the cordoned off areas. So nobody could go in or out of that area, but food and care packages, medications, and so on was delivered to the line and then taken in by the people that were on that front line to the residents of that area while the health Ministry of Health conducted their screening and tracing of the virus from that patient zero, which became patient one. That quarantine has been lifted, so the people of 7 miles and 8 miles, although are free to move around, it is still encouraged very strongly on the air, continuously with pamphlets and continuously by the ministry, that certain orders still have to be maintained. Now, what orders are there in Jamaica? Order number one, all bars, every single bar in Jamaica is supposed to remain closed. No opening up of the side windows, no serving of alcohol or anything from the bars. None of that at all is supposed to be happening. Okay? So even though the quarantine is lifted, that still has to be observed. The social distancing has to be observed. And it's 3 feet, preferably up to 6 feet away from each other. No more than 10 people can be gathered in one place at a time. And at the same token, they cannot be less than 3 feet apart from each other. The supermarkets remain open, but they have to restrict the amount of people entering the supermarkets at that amount of people. And while doing that, supermarkets are also responsible for ensuring that the line outside are staying 3 feet apart. These are the orders and the rules, folks. And barbershops, they can only have 10 people in the barbershop or hairdressers, which includes the barbers and hairdressers and the people in the chair, and only 2 people can be waiting to be taken care of while the barbershop. So let's say there's 3 people, 3 barbers in there and 3 customers in the chair. You can still only have 2 people in addition waiting. So that would make it 8 people. So the 10 rule only applies if you have 4 barbers, 4 people in the chair, and 2 waiting. I hope that clarifies it for you. Now, what other steps are we taking here in Jamaica? Sanitizers. As soon as you get into a store, more than likely you're going to be sprayed with alcohol or some type of a sanitizer. Your hands are going to be. The advice is use sanitizers every time you go outside of your house or apartment or wherever you are, and you make contact either with furniture, metal, plates, money. Apply some sanitizer and apply some alcohol. If not, just soap and water, washing your hands with soap and water for about 20 seconds, drying it. And then if you have the sanitizer and alcohol, spray some on your hands at the same time. Why are we doing that? And why is the government of Jamaica and the Ministry of Health doing that? Well, the fact is, for those of you who might have been hearing all the different ways in which COVID-19 is spread, COVID-19 it can only be spread through contact. So you're either going to make it contracted by being too close to somebody that may have expelled the virus, which would go up to that 3 feet and put a land on you, or you're going to pick it up from somewhere that that virus was deposited, like on a table, like a dining room table, on a plate, on some money or something like that. So by washing your hands and keeping your hands free of the virus, guess what? Chances of the virus spreading is slim to none. People sometimes wonder why, you know, the 3 feet and why the no gathering. Well, that explains exactly why. So, for example, if you are carrying the virus, which, by the way, you can be carrying and not have the symptoms, the fact of the matter is you could have placed the virus either through a cough or a sneeze, which is why they're asking if you're coughing and sneezing, sneeze or cough into a piece of tissue and then dispose of it immediately, then sanitize your hands. Or make sure if you don't have that available, then sneeze or cough in your shoulder or in where your elbows and your arms bend And of course, take the necessary sanitizing steps after that to ensure that you don't spread it to your mouth, your nose, and your eyes, which is the areas in which the COVID-19 will most likely be able to get inside of your body and get to your lungs. Because for those of you who may not know, it is a respiratory infection, and it will go straight for your lungs. That is why at this point in time, they do not believe that COVID-19 can actually go into your skin. So if you get it off of your hands, then chances are, for those of us who love to touch our face, love to put our hands in our mouth, and love to touch our noses, we do realize that by keeping our hands clean and free of the virus, the chances of us, to ourselves and our others, are very slim. That, folks, is what we are trying to do, and that is what the government of Jamaica has been continuously and consistently, the airways. And as you know, I don't know if you know it, but Jamaica, we have dozens of radio stations here, and I listen to pretty much all of them continuously now with that we have this crisis. And what we're finding is that almost every 20 minutes, almost every commercial break, there is an advisory and there is something to be said about COVID-19 and how to prevent it from spreading. So, folks, the government, the information, the Jamaica Information Service, the Ministry of Health, and the administration and the authorities are all doing their job, and they're doing a really good job of it. So where does that leave Jamaica? That leaves Jamaica in the hands of the people. The people of Jamaica is now in your hands. So for those of us listening out there who have relatives abroad, if you believe and you understand what I'm saying and you speak to your relatives, let them know that the end of this thing can be near or the end of this thing can be far. It can be near if we do everything that the government and the authorities are asking us to do. It'll be very far and prolonged and a lot more consequential if we don't follow instructions. Okay? That is the crux of the matter, because let's look at it this way. There's four stages of the virus. There's the initial stages of no cases. Then you have the cases of sporadic case. Then you have the cluster cases. And then you have what's called a community stage. Well, Jamaica is now in the community stage of the virus. That's the worst stage of the virus. That is the part of the virus that is going to peak. For example, folks, if you look at what happened in China or in Italy, you had it where there was a certain amount of cases. Like, say, for example, in Jamaica now we have 30 cases and we have 2 per day. In the community stage of the virus, you can actually assess and decide and kind of have an idea of how well we're containing the virus, because it exponentially increases in the community stage of the virus based on how you've been able to contain it. So if we haven't contained the virus properly in Jamaica, you're going to find now that instead of 30 increasing by 2 every day, all of a sudden it's going to start increasing by 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 to 200 a day. How does that happen? It happens by people not following instructions. And I'm going to cover some examples of that when I come back specifically to what's going on here in Alligator Pond, Manchester, and in a lot of other parts of Jamaica, which I can't really verify because I myself kind of self-quarantined by just staying in the area that I am, and I only go out the town to eat and or to buy necessities. And then I head straight back to my room here. Fortunately for me, it's a room right by the sea and the river, so I have a wonderful experience even while I'm being quarantined. I just have to put that one in, okay? So that's a fortunate part of it for me, and it's a good self-quarantine because pretty much I have nobody walking around this area, so I don't have to worry about social distancing because there's not anybody to socialize with where I am. Right next to me, however, is the river, and that is a buzz of activity, and I'll kind of go into that a little bit for you. As we're 24 minutes now into the show, so it looks as if I'm going to be spending a lot of time just, talking about it. But once again, if you want to call in with a question that's on your mind, it's 661-467-2407. You're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show. This is Maurice Harrison with the South Coast Show. And tonight we are focusing specifically on this COVID-19 virus and how it's affecting Jamaica and Jamaicans, trying to bring to you some factual notes about what's going on here in Jamaica. So we're, as I was saying before, we are in the community stage of the virus in Jamaica right now. And the fact that we only have 32 cases, confirmed, tested, positive cases, we do have, I think, somewhere between 180 to 200 people that's in quarantine and being tested. But the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health and the CMO, the Chief Medical Officer for the country, have been kind of telling us and preparing us for the fact that come community stage part, we might see some substantial increases in the amount of cases and increasing drastically daily, depending on how communities handle the advices and the containment of the virus. So although we only have 32 cases today, don't be surprised if by the time I get back on the air with you that we have a substantially much higher amount. We are, however, hopeful that it's not going to materialize like, let's say, and I don't like to compare, especially in the cases of tragedies, like a place like New York, for example, where with the 80-something thousand cases in the United States of America, you have 50-something thousand cases. That's in New York alone. What that tells you is if you look at the different measures that are being taken and the population structure and the people obeying and cooperating with the announcements from the government and authorities, that some places might not be following it as well as others. Well, coming back here now to Alligator Pond in the south coast of Jamaica, it also depends on how we handle it here in Alligator Pond. Okay? And that lends to the question, how are Jamaicans and Jamaica handling the situation, specifically here in the south coast? Well, to me, and this is an opinion based on what I see when I go out, I am not venturing out that much, but I am hearing a lot on the air. And I have been venturing out to as far as Roseville and Mandeville and in those areas for shopping reasons. And, you know, coming, I have stopped going to visit friends and I've stopped associating with friends. And that is the advice to everyone. It's not an order. It's not a rule. It's not a law, but it's a strong advice that the government is issuing. If you don't have to be together, don't be together. Funerals, you cannot have more than 10 people. So if you're going to do funerals, they're saying let's stream it, okay? Or if you can delay it, delay it. But funerals, you can't either. In Jamaica in general, the consensus is that the Jamaican government is doing a good job. My only fear with that is that we might have some complacency set in. And I say that because here in Alligator Pond, I have noticed, as I told you, where I am staying and where I live is right beside Alligator Pond River. Okay? So basically speaking, the Alligator Pond River is a very popular spot for locals especially. A lot of locals come to the Alligator Pond area. Okay? And in the Alligator Pond area, there's a river that runs out to the sea. Now, that river is crystal clear, beautiful running water, very refreshing, and the beach itself is also very nice, and it's a gathering, especially on Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays. Now, where do the people come from to come to the river and the sea in Alligator Pond? Well, let's look at the Alligator Pond town and the Alligator Pond River. The Alligator Pond River, if you went directly along the coast, is about a mile to a mile and a half from the town itself. To come down to the Alligator Pond River, you'd come down the Fort Kaiser Road. In Alligator Pond town, the main industries for this area is fishing, first and foremost, and agriculture, and now there's a trend towards eco-community tourism in terms of food spots, and now there's a few bed and breakfasts popping up all over the place. So basically speaking, it is the industries itself in the area for the town and the busy part of the town, the sustenance of this town is fully dependent on fishing and agriculture. Well, for you to be able to peddle your fish and your agricultural products, what do you require? You require contact with people who are coming to buy from different areas of the country. Now, how many of those people may be carrying the virus? Nobody knows, because the virus takes about 14 days to mutate before you start to see symptoms. But even the asymptomatic stage, guess what? It can be transferred. So you can actually be receiving the virus from someone who doesn't appear to have the virus and not even know it. So in Alligator Pond Town, where the fishing boats come in with the catch, what's the first thing that happens? People gather at the boats, buy fish directly from the fishermen coming in. And folks, it's Easter time, and everybody that's from Jamaica know that come Easter time, one of the highest demands is fish. So Alligator Pond is buzzing right now with people coming in to buy the fish. Now, the buying of the fish is very competitive because people want to get the quality fish as quickly as possible. So guess what? They swarm to the boats in crowds as quickly as possible and try to get it. 90% of the time, we do not have people staying 3 feet away from each other. So if one person, which may have come from one of the areas that has been infected, comes into the area carrying the virus, guess what? They're now spreading that virus around everybody that's gathered around that boat. Okay, now you see when it comes to the community stage of the virus, how quickly one infection can go to, let's say, 35 people gathered around the boat to 35 people. By the way, if the bars were open, a lot of people, when they come down here to buy fish, guess what? They have a couple of red stripes. I say red stripes, and Dr. Ev will know why I said red stripes, because I am always drinking red stripes. So no, I have my inventory at home. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of bars, there's a lot of food shops, there's a lot of cook shops, and there's a lot of restaurants right within that area. So if people are gathered in those restaurants and they're not observing the 10 persons and they're not observing the 3 feet, chances are the virus will be brought into this community, and therefore it would affect the community's zero rate. Because right now in Alligator Pond, we have zero infections, no infections at all, okay? Which, that's fortunate for us, but sadly, there's other areas of Jamaica that do have infections. For example, in Gaisland, which is about 10, 15 minutes drive from Alligator Pond and Junction, there's at least two cases that we know of. One was discovered about a week ago. A gentleman that came in from Dubai was been in around the Junction area because he has businesses in that area. And guess what? He tested positive. So the people that he was hanging out with are now going through testing. He does not live in that area, but he was in that area for some time, and the authorities moved in and took action. So that's just to show. And then we go over to the river now, where people come in on Saturdays, Sundays, and during the week for recreational purposes. By the river, we have a lot of cook shops that sell fried fish and dumplings, and they sell alcohol, they play their music. And on Saturdays and Sundays especially, it's a really big gathering spot for the farmers and the other business people and everybody from the surrounding areas, from as far as Mandeville, all the way up to Junction, Top Hill, Bull Savannah, Ballard's Valley. So outside of a radius of 10, 15, 20 miles, a lot of people come into the river on Saturdays and Sundays. So by closing down the bars, which is an area in which people gather together the most, that is supposed to contain the virus. So what is the problem we're having right now? Despite the fact that the government has issued the orders, and all the bars are closed, and guess what? The bars in the surrounding areas are also now closed. So guess what the bartenders and the bar owners do? They migrate to the river because it's an open area place and there's no specific. They bring their cars with the liquor. They bring their sounds with the liquor. And guess what? They have moved their business here to the river. So on Thursday last, the police had to come in, and the police actually shut down some of the businesses, the food vendors on the river, and actually issued some summons. That in itself should help to take care of the problem. However, the police cannot be here 24 hours a day. And sure enough, 2 days later, they started to come back in again. And of course, the police had to show up again and disperse them. The point is this, is if this has to continue happening, what's going to end up happening is the Jamaica Defense Force is going to come in and they're going to camp out here and they're going to just shut it down entirely. To compound the situation with that type of traffic coming into the river and into the Alligator Pond Town, if a case does come up to be tested positive in that area, guess what's going to happen? The entire town will be shut down. Now, if Alligator Pond is shut down and nobody can come in or nobody can go out, guess what? And the agricultural products can't come in and they can't go out. The economy of this area would come down to zero. Nobody in this area would be able to afford to buy anything. The only positive thing about that is I live in Alligator Pond, so therefore I'd be able to get fish for free because they wouldn't be able to sell it. Now, that's not a good thing. It's a good thing for my stomach, but it's not a good thing for the people and the community of Alligator Pond. That should give you an idea of what the community stage of this virus is. Okay, the community stage of this virus is where, depending on how the community acts and reacts and proactively acts on the virus, we will be able to contain it accordingly. So as the days go by and the next few weeks go by, we will see which communities are actually abiding. The Prime Minister and the Minister of Health have already said that they do not want to, but there is a possibility if and we don't abide by the rules and the orders that they may have to shut down Jamaica totally. Shutting down Jamaica means that only you can only leave your house and in only numbers of two just to go to get food and or medication and go right back. You can't be seen wandering out anywhere and you can't be selling or running businesses except for essential services, which would be under even tighter restriction. So folks, economically, it's better for you if you just follow the rules right now and go through this hardship time. And health-wise, to contain the virus and lower the amount of people that's going to die from the virus or get sick from the virus and spread the virus, it's best to just listen to and follow the instructions of the authorities. They know what they're doing. They're doing a very good job of it. If we fail, it's not going to be because of government. It's going to be because we, the people, fail. The sad part of that is about 80% of Jamaicans are fully cooperating with the government right now. I would say, based on what I'm seeing, about 20 to 25% might not be cooperating. The sad part is that 25% could actually contaminate the 80% that's cooperating. So, folks, it's the responsibility of every citizen that when they see violation, they call 888-1-LOVE. 888-1-LOVE. Call that number. That's the Minister of Health to report it. If you're in a locality, call the police. If the local police does not act on it for one some reason or the other, call the 119 number and let them know that you already called your local police and they're not doing anything about it. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, folks, you cannot allow the few to cause you to be A, contaminated, and B, shut down economically. Okay, folks, so that's my lecture as to what needs to be done and what government is doing and what the people are doing and how I gave you the two scenarios, the town of Alligator Pond and the Alligator Pond River, which is a recreational area, and how nonconformance could actually cripple Alligator Pond. Now, I use Alligator Pond as an example because that's where I live. But this applies to every place in Jamaica. So once again, folks, you're listening out there, you have relatives in Jamaica, call them, talk to them, send them the link on the of this show. You don't have, you know, even after this show is ended, The link will be there. Send them the link. Have them listen to it, because it gives you and gives them an explanation as to why, if we cooperate with the government and we do what is supposed to be done, we can get out of this thing a lot quicker. Because fortunately for us, we have a bell curve in any pandemic, and Jamaica has been able to keep the bell curve here on a pretty flat level. How that bell curve ends up after we finish this community stage is dependent on how we as a people work with the government and the authorities to contain this virus. So I appeal on behalf of not the government of Jamaica, but I appeal as a Jamaican living in Jamaica, on the ground here in Jamaica, for all my brothers and sisters out there to please, please go through this and conform. And I'm asking everyone out there in our other countries, Jamaicans as every corner of this world might be listening right now, please let your relatives know, look, just listen to what the government is saying and do it. We'll get over it. We'll be able to come visit you more often. We'll be able to come back to visit you. There are so many people right now abroad that wants to come over. There are so many people that were going to be here in March and April and May that can't come right now because they're not allowed it. And if this virus starts to spread, guess what? Those restrictions are going to be extended. Those restrictions for 14 days and for 7 days, they're reviewed every 5 days. And every 5 days, depending on the increase in the confirmed cases, is what the government is going to react to it and decide whether to extend them. School is out now until the end of Easter holidays. So there's no school. The children are being provided with tablets. There's 4,000 tablets that are supposed to be coming in and being provided to the students to help prepare them for examinations and to help with work. Work is being given to students, but as some of us may know, some of the parents are not as up on ensuring that the students are doing the schoolwork. So when this is all over with, there's going to be a lot of students that's going to be behind other students when it comes to schoolwork. So folks, it's not an easy situation. It's not a nice situation. But a positive side to it is that Jamaica is pretty much managing it right now. And we're hoping that at the rate at which it's going right now, that it will definitely, we'll come out of this in the not so far future. We are hopeful and hoping. Now, I don't want anybody to say that Maurice says we're going to be out of it, or that Maurice says people will be able to go back to work. Okay. What I am saying is that we're hoping that if we keep the current trend that we're on, that we will be able to start lifting flight restrictions. We'll be able to start lifting people being able to go back to work and reopening the bars. And let me tell you something, bars, taxi drivers, they're suffering big time right now, because the taxi drivers, if they are licensed to carry 5 passengers, including themselves, they can only carry 4 now, including themselves. So a passenger, 1 passenger from here to Junction or from here to Mandeville is $200 less for the driver. Guess what? That's a big change when it comes to putting gas in that taxi to go to Mandeville and the wear and tear on the vehicle. So there's a lot of suffering going on, and it can be as temporary as we make it. That's the only thing that I can say to you. So basically speaking, that's a synopsis of what's going on. You're listening to CRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Show. My name is Maurice Harrison, and I'm coming to you with a premiere of the South Coast show. I'll be on weekly now, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Jamaica time, 9 p.m. daylight saving time. And as time goes on, depending on the demand, we may expand it or move the time slot. Let's get a feedback from you. Is this informative? Were you happy with the show? Do you like the information that you're getting? The show will go on in future weeks as we get through this crisis to put emphasis more on culture of the area, the South Coast in general, try to give you some information on the South Coast, what possible opportunities may exist on the South Coast, why it's considered a gem, why is it we need to preserve the South Coast the way it is, and try to give you an idea so that wherever you are in this world, you can at least experience a little bit. If you go out CRSradio.com and Facebook. I would be posting some photographs of the area in a week, giving an idea so that people can get an idea. On my Facebook page, there's tons of photographs over there. I have a sister group out there that I'm an admin of, it's Facebook Jamaica, that we also post on the positive things about Jamaica. The South Coast is an area that's not explored, and it's more of an eco-community tourism area outside of the two main industries, which is agriculture and fishing. I see here we may have a question coming in here, so I'm going to go to 540-353-441. I don't want to call out the whole number.
Yes, good afternoon.
Welcome, caller.
Welcome, caller. Good afternoon, Mr. Maurice. I am really, really sitting here so thrilled with your update of what's going on, in especially on the South Coast and in general what the government is doing. I am absolutely thrilled. I am stuck to my chair just listening to your delivery. And coming out of Jamaica in general, I am also moved that as a country, so-called quote-unquote developing country, we're so far ahead. Hopefully we can keep it that way, and as you suggested, and you keep the hammer home, you know, just up to the people how they move around, how seriously they take it too, depends on how our curve would start to fall. One of the questions I would like to ask is, and you were just about touching on it before the call came through, the area that you are focusing right now, beautiful Haligata Pond, and I learned some history at the beginning of your chat, that this is not now anymore St. Elizabeth, but Clarendon. History I did not know. Manchester.
Yeah.
Manchester. I had absolutely no idea. But tell me, I know this area based on your last shows that I was so attentively listening to before you went off air, that this is a striving era for ecotourism, and a lot of the jobs and the income generated in this area mainly from that. Can you explain how this area is affected by this shutdown almost?
Well, from a tourism point of view, it's pretty much went from now. This area is not as much of an eco community tourism area as that's more to the west of us, which is Treasure Beach and the Great Bay Area. But the Alligator Pond area, when it comes to the eco community tourism part of it, there is a lot of backpackers and nature seekers that comes to this area. The type of things that happen is Little Ochi, a lot of people might be familiar with Little Ochi, Oswald's, bunch of grapes, and other seafood. The seafood is what brings people to this area. There's no better fish in Jamaica than fish being gotten at Alligator Pond, because the Alligator Pond fish comes in from Jamaican water. Most people don't realize that other areas of Jamaica, you're getting fish, snappers, and all of that, they're not actually coming out of Jamaican waters. They're coming out of Honduras and being bought out at sea and being brought back and resold. So Alligator Pond is unique in that sense, in that the fish that you're getting in Alligator Pond are almost 100% always offshore. So it's real Jamaican fish. So the effects of COVID-19, especially with the bars, because every place that sells, you know, seafood from the tourism, not from the vendoring point of view, but from the tourism point of view, has bars and entertainment. Now, all entertainment is shut down, so obviously that's going to shut down the tourism aspect of it. The businesses that are mostly affected right now are, they've gone from full income to zero income right now. Little Ochi, Oswald, they still have business. And one of the reasons that these areas have business still going is because there's a lot of people that comes in from Mandeville, Kingston, and so on to come just to eat at Little Ochi and Oswald's and Bunch of Grapes. And of course, by doing so, they have community bars and drinks. And of course, they buy fish and stuff from the vendors, take back, they come in with their coolers and their ice. So from an eco-community tourism aspect, which is not just overseas tourists, but also tourists from, let's say, Kingston, because if you're coming from Kingston, so that gets a fun to eat and stuff. You're actually a tourist, but you're coming from outside of the area. The downside of that is, yes, there's been a drastic drop-off because the order prevents you from crowding the places and only a certain amount of people can be near at the same time. The other downside of that, though, is that the people that are coming into the area, even in the few as they are actually coming from areas that have already tested positive, so that can contribute to creating a community, spreading this community. So the trade-off here is, yes, we have lost a lot of income, and it's very shocking to the area because bars made money. Now they have no income at all. Restaurants are making very limited income. Miss Patty was telling me where I eat my lunch every day, and she just feeds locals, just locals that eat at her little cook shop. She's going now from doing 10 to 12 pounds of rice a day to down to 5 pounds of rice that she's cooking. So that gives you an idea of her revenue is cut in half. So from an eco-community tourism point of view, this has affected Jason, over in Treasure Beach. He had to shut down his facility there because the tourists have canceled because they're not allowed to come into the country. Now, that's the downside of it. The upside of that is the government of Jamaica asked hotels to give up properties to house what they expect. They're looking for 600 rooms because we expect that when it peaks, we're going to need a hospital spaces that are now holding people that tested. And when those people test positive after they're treated, after the 14 days, they still have to be kept in quarantine for an additional 30 days. And the government was asking hotels to rent them rooms at very low rates and give their buildings up. Well, Jason was the very first hotel owner in Jamaica to actually volunteer and give up his space for the government to use. So I hope this answers your question as to how it's affecting the eco-community tourism aspect of the businesses. The good part about it is that the government have announced a stimulus package, which if you have been paying and filing your income tax annually, you somewhere around April or May will be receiving a cash amount to assist businesses, and some businesses will actually be receiving cash if they keep the employees employed and paid through this time. Does that answer your question?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, thoroughly. I know you probably are going, but it is. Folks would say Jamaica has this political, and we can't get away from that, this political tearing apart. And to see or hear that Jamaica is really working on that level, the corporation is just unprecedented, I mean, from my point of view. And it's really heartwarming to hear that is happening in Jamaica. My concern, though, is what about those very poor people? And I'm thinking, because this is transfer from folks to folks, unless you have somebody going into a district, which, you know, the houses are partially putting together, so you won't have that folks, you know, really doing that 3 feet or 6 feet apart being a problem. But those people who have need for water, those older folks up into the country here, how are they making it out?
Well, the government have actually taken steps on that area as well. Water is becoming a priority for delivery, and even before this crisis, that has always been a problem in Jamaica. Water supply, we're a land of wood and water, but unfortunately, the cost of delivering that water is extremely high. And plus, we have a high deficit in the amount of about 25% of all water that's supplied by National Water Commission is being stolen. However, the government have actually committed and have already started to ensure that water is being supplied to areas. And they are doing a very good job with that from what in this area. I have heard some complaints in other areas, but then they'll come back and say, well, some of it may be slightly true, but it's just, you know, how sometimes people get a little bit impatient and not understanding that it's going to take some time. But yes, the water is being delivered into the areas and there is. Now, before the crisis, this for people that you were mentioning, which would include myself, would actually be buying water, and they always bought water. Now, in a lot of the cases, they're actually getting the water at no cost. The National Water Commission has decided and have publicly announced that they will not be disconnecting any water. During this crisis, and so has JPM. So the government has stepped up, and the JPS is now calling on the government to reduce the taxes to the utility companies to allow them to, so that the water bills and the electric bills will not be so high. The homeless are getting food delivered twice a day to different facilities and are being helped. So overall, I think the government is doing a good job in how they can and what they can, given the logistics and given the areas that it has to be done. I have not heard any hard complaints. What I have heard most from each poor is a compliment. And as far as the health is concerned and the infections and the positives, ironically enough, most of those that are tested, that have tested positive, are not in the poorer category of people. It would seem right. And that's possible because it was imported, and it was imported from, you know, people who travel and people who travel. I think a good job is being done. Poor people in the area of Alligator Pond, which amounts to a lot, seems to be doing pretty good. We're struggling because there's loss of income, but people going about their daily lives, they're eating, and we have water. Water is being trucked into the area. And I would suspect that if water is being trucked into this area and it's being provided, I would suspect, especially you mentioned the political part of this thing, I suspect the same thing is happening throughout the country because this is actually being run by a PNP councillor and a PNP member of parliament as opposition, and we're getting our supplies here. And with that, it seems as if, folks, we're going to be going very shortly, so I hope we answer that question. And once again, folks, I invite you all to tune in next week, same time. If we find it necessary, we may extend it for a little bit. And I do believe that next week we'll also be doing a corona update. So I'm going to leave you now. Wish you a very good week. Stay safe out there. And hopefully you all will not be affected as bad either. And if you do, please take the necessary precautions. This is Maurice Harrison reporting from Jamaica Alligator Pond Live, and I thank you for joining me tonight. See you guys next week. Leave you with one of my favorites for the last 30 seconds of this show.
Rasta Ozzy from up the hill decide to check on him grocery bill. And when him add up the things he need, they do need done where him safe to buy little weed.
him hand pan him jaw.